Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Friday, July 22nd, 2016. Good afternoon, Al.
Well, Melody.
Well, we had a little bit yesterday, she giveth, today she taketh. We have gold down $670 in the aftermarket New York spot at $1,325. Silver's down 15 cents at $19.69. Platinum got hammered today, almost 2%, down 20 at $1,086. Palladium, $688. The USDX today was up again, 0.53 on the USDX at $97.43. Crude oil was down about the same amount, 0.57 at $44.18. And the paper markets today, let's see. Come on, paper markets. Let's go. It's going, but it's not going. I want it to go. We have the Dow up 53 points, 18,570. The NASDAQ up 26, 5,100. The S&P up 9 at 2,175. 10-year yield, 1.57%. The Euro, 110, down 0.45. And you know, it's summer, it's been quiet, and we'll see if getting close to the end of the month. Saw a nice little return. It looked like there's a little bit of pop in silver eagles from the U.S. Mint this week. So it was good to see that little bit of a move. I'll bring those numbers to you after the break, but I think there's two things I think everyone was focused on, Al. I think the first one was the convention last night, and yep. Mr. Trump and his speech. And don't know
I listened to most of the speech. I didn't hear the whole thing, but I listened to most of it. Some of it I thought was exciting and exhilarating. Some of it was a little bit scary. Mm-hmm. I mean, he talks about he's going to be the law and order guy and the rest of that sort of thing. That makes some people nervous. I don't know. That law and order thing can get, depending on how far you go with it, it can get strange. But by and large, I'd say that was a good speech. I think Laura Ingraham probably wrote it for him. I think she did a better job writing her own speech. But nevertheless, she delivered a good speech for Mr. Trump, and I'm only guessing that she was a speechwriter there, but there's a good chance she was. The thing that impresses me about Trump campaign, and the thing that You know, there's debates about, you can say what you want about Trump. And there is cause to be excited about his candidacy. There's cause to be wary of his candidacy. But one thing that convinces me, that pushes me, persuades me that this is a good man, is the quality of his children. He's got one daughter who stays out of the limelight, and she's probably a wild thing. I don't know what her problem is, but they just keep her off. It's like Aunt Zelda in the rocking chair up in the attic or something like that. They just keep her out of sight. We don't talk about her. But he's got two sons and a daughter, the little boy. Barron doesn't do anything right now. But still, the quality of the children he's raised impress me. This guy has not just, he's not just a family man. He hasn't just raised a family, which is so hard to do right now for anybody. I mean, we wind up having kids that live in the same house with us, but it's not necessarily, the result is not necessarily a family. Trump doesn't just have a family, he has a team. All right? And these people are working together. And I get the impression they are all pleased and proud to have Donald Trump as their father. I don't see the, you know, the rolling of the eyes and disinterest. I think they're excited about the whole thing. I think this reminds me something. This reminds me of the Kennedy clan back in the day, right? John F. Kennedy and all of the brothers and sisters and children and the rest of that. There was not just a family there. There was a team. We're seeing something like that with Trump. And I think it's a good reason. I think about that. We've got the Trump family versus Hillary Clinton. What's Hillary got for her family? She's got one daughter. I get that. She's got a husband that any woman in her right mind would have divorced a long time ago.
As Donald Trump divorced three, you know.
Well, maybe.
You know, so, I don't think you can do the marital comparison between, you know. And Chelsea, by all means, you know, she hasn't proven any difficulty. But I'm not so sure Donald Trump raised a family. He raised children. You know, there are two different things. And I don't know, and as lovely as the children are, I'm not so sure I'm comfortable with having them be in his closest advisors either, you know.
I actually like it. I don't think they're his closest advisors.
Because they will
protect him
at all costs.
Well, that's probably true, but he will also protect them. I think this man is family motivated, and I think he's going to look around and think, what's good for family?
I think Trump.
And I don't think it's just about cutting more real estate deals and whatever. I think he's looking, what's best for a little Barron? And for whatever grandchildren he has.
I mean,
I think he's thinking about that because
you're making me sound like I'm negative against Trump and you know,
I'm not making
he's
so.
Better than Hillary by all costs. But I assure you with Mr. Trump, it will always be about money. I mean, when you get to those levels, I mean, money plays an important part. Your lifestyle, you need to keep it there. But I do think he has a sense of patriotism. I do believe he loves his country. I do believe he says a lot of those things. But I agree with you. There are some things that he said that made me uncomfortable. There were some things that he said that I thought, all right. And, you know, it actually gave you a little bit of hope.
Yeah.
But then when it's we're back to what of our choices, but I never take away the elite, their power, their abilities, their evil.
I get that. They're dangerous foes and the rest, that sort of thing. But on the other hand, no one's been willing to challenge them up until now in a meaningful sense. And it remains to be seen whether they are as powerful as they appear to be, or they're suspected to be, or if they are to some extent a paper tiger.
I'm hoping
The elite didn't want Britain to exit from Europe. The elite didn't get their way.
Yeah,
the
but
public
they got
stood up, and the public, 52%, it's not the vast majority, but 52% essentially told the elite to stick it.
Yeah,
and the people supporting Trump are the same thing. They're telling the elite to stick it. And I wonder if the elite can really maintain control right now if there is a general public dissatisfaction, a sense of indignation Not just here in the United States, but over in Europe and maybe around the world. Maybe the world is tired of a corrupt government and a biased government. And maybe we've got so many of them that the world, maybe we're coming to that time. I'm not saying that's true, but I'm saying it's possible.
You have to understand that also Cameron was replaced by someone of equal views and values. She did appoint, I think she appointed Johnson to be a trade prime minister for lacking the proper title that he received. So she did appoint a Brexit person to within the cabinet, but is maybe not any different over here where, you know, we're replacing a politician and he chooses the vice president as, you know, a very conservative Christian person. So all remains to be seen. We'll see what happens in 4 years. It does kind of give you a little bit of hope that something will at least change no matter what he does. The key thing is we do have the Supreme Court justices, and I certainly would rather have Mr. Donald Trump picking them than Hillary Clinton. So
I agree.
Big deal. That is a very big deal.
You know, if nothing else, Trump has at least got some issues on the table that he appears to be dealing with in a pretty honest manner. He's saying, we got this problem, we got this problem, while Hillary's saying, oh, everything's copacetic, it's all ready to, you know, we're just ready to rock and roll here. Trump has said, no, we have problems, they have to be resolved. And I get the impression, I've had it all along, and it's not unique to me, but Trump is the kind of man that if you want a railroad built from New York City to San Francisco, you can hire a bunch of government talkers, and they'll debate and talk about it, and you might see the railroad in this century, and you might see it the next, or you can get Trump, in which case he'll build the railroad, and it'll probably take him about 18 months to 2 years. He can get things, I think he has the promise, at least, of getting things done. He's not just here to talk about them. He's here to actually get things done. I think that's his nature, more so than the talk. I think it's his nature, too.
The only thing I'm hoping is he doesn't turn out to be another hope and change. People get their hopes up. People keep looking for change. Mm-hmm. And we, you know, end up with 4 years later, here we are.
Well,
but anyway.
Reagan. President Reagan was a hope and change president.
Yeah, well, he wasn't the best one either. I mean, everybody liked him, but, you know, he did some things that were,
no, I understand.
You know?
I understand. He wasn't
perfect.
Yeah,
very questionable.
But what I'm saying is not everybody who comes up and talks hope and change is just a con artist. Some people actually do provide some hope and some change, if only, you know, in a surprising way. Reagan, you can debate what he did and what he didn't do, but his personality all by itself did something subjective for the nation that kind of put us back in a position where we were believing in this country again. And I don't know, is Trump going to do that? Is his personality going to do that? I think it might.
I think he, you know, I do believe he has a leadership quality, and I do believe he can bring this country together.
Yeah.
And I think when he mentioned the law and order, he talked a lot about the inner cities. And I think if most people even ventured to do a little research, and we'd be all shocked at what goes on in these inner cities. So, you know, there is a lot of changes that need to be made. And the first step, though, is we have to make sure that, you know, get out there and vote and make sure the other party does not get elected. But
it's going to be interesting to see. Trump will get a boost in the polls after the Republican convention. That's just standard. Whoever has the convention, everybody gets excited about him. And that'll last for anywhere from 48 to 72 hours. And then people will be back to apathy and boredom, and they won't. Who's the guy? What's the name of the guy running for the Republican? Oh, yeah, Trump. Yeah, I remember Trump. Yeah. It's just human nature. And Hillary will get a bump after the Democrat convention, presumably. It would be almost astonishing if she didn't. But still, she's got her work cut out for, and the Democrat Party has their work cut out for them. This is, Trump is going to be hard to beat. And, you know, I mean, he's talking about Hillary in a very overt manner and suggesting, look, she belongs in the slammer. What she's done is not, this is not tolerable. He's implicitly, I didn't hear him expressly say it, but he's at least implicitly saying if he gets in there, Hillary may be subject to more prosecution.
Highly unlikely, but
I don't know about
highly
that.
Unlikely.
I don't know about that. And I think I know how unlikely it would be. Virtually, it's like Obama got in. They should have charged George W. Bush and Dick Cheney with war crimes. Right? There was a lot of room to go after them, and Obama said, we're not going to look into the past, we're not going to look backward, we're going to look forward. And that meant he wasn't going to charge anybody who had been in the previous administration. But maybe that's exactly what Trump needs. Just imagine that Trump, after making all of his extraordinary promises in his acceptance speech last night, let's suppose that when he gets into office, he actually delivers and he says, all right, you crooks are going down. All right? We're not going to do, oh, we're going to have to look backward, we're going to look forward. No, we're going to settle accounts. Do you? I mean, you can sit there and you contemplate that and you say to yourself, my God, can you imagine the kind of confidence that would inspire in the American people if Trump went after known criminals in government? Right? I mean, there's
well,
a lot of
people. Yeah, again, like, Alan, I mean, that's not even logical. That's not even logical because you're right. If you went after all of them,
oh, I'll never
there wouldn't be any time to do anything else.
Oh, I get
that. They'd be
but
spending.
If you went after half a dozen.
The attorney bills would be so high.
Oh, like, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, because they would all be guilty of it. But something that is also
we set an example that would inspire the American people. Right now, we look at the government, and a lot of people, including myself, and regard it as little more than a criminal enterprise. It's a hustle. It's a con. It's a place for people to get into positions of power where they can exploit that power in order to enrich themselves or special interests that they represent. Right? If Trump were to jail half a dozen bigwigs, right? Maybe Loretta Lynch, maybe can't even think of his name. Ron Holder, Eric Holder, previous Attorney General. Yeah, let's give them a run for their money. Think this is just a hustle? Let's show you that the law still applies. Trump says he's going to be the law and order guy. Now, the question is, where is he going to impose that law and order? Is it only going to be on the inner cities where we have blacks and minorities? Or does it include law and order even in Washington, D.C.?
The only time
I'm going to tell you that if it includes law and order even in Washington, D.C., there's a lot of people are going to say, yeah, buddy, that's our guy. So we'll watch and see.
The only time it's
that's part of Trump's mentality or not.
The only time it's going to be Washington is if there's someone standing in his way and he wants something done. Then he might go after him or, you know. But anyway, I wanted to talk about this before the break, and we're almost coming up on that. I don't know what it is with Fridays, but in Munich, you had gunmen in a Munich shopping center. Uh-huh. You have at least five that have died. Many are injured. They're still looking for these three gunmen. And so it's, again, not a whole lot of information, at least what I've been able to find. Let me finish, please. What they're mainly shouting is about foreigners. They don't like those foreigners coming inside, and we'll just see now how Angela Merkel deals with this type of a situation.
Yep. We'll see how Europe deals with it. We'll see how we deal with it. Do we really want more foreigners, especially Muslims, coming into this country? I think the answer is no. We're going to take a break for some commercials. I'm Alfred Addisk with Melody Cedarstrom here on Financial Survival. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. For all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
Daniel Thornton spent 33 years at the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis. He retired in 2014. And with another economist, himself and another economist, they're concerned that the swelling of wealth could prove unsustainable because it has far outstripped the growth of the economy since the recession ended in 2009. They talk about the household net worth ballooned in the late 90s and in the early 2000s. In the first instance, it was pumped up by rising stock prices, the dot-com bubble. In the second, by expanding home values. We know how they both ended, and they both ended very badly. They ended with an economy running into a recession after the bubbles burst. So what they talk about, as just as occurred in the previous two episodes, the latest expansion of wealth, if that's what you want to describe the wealth, has been driven more by rising prices of assets. And in case both shares and homes, in this case, both shares and homes, then by improved economic fundamentals. And we talk about the fundamentals all the time. I do for gold and silver. Since 2009, households have seen their holdings of stock and mutual funds nearly double to $20.6 trillion. Only 6% of that gain, 6% of that gain can be ascribed to new flows of money into the funds or share purchases. And this is according to the calculations by Carson, director of global economic research at AllianceBernstein in New York. He says the rest is due to price appreciation. As a share of disposable personal income, household net worth hit a record high of 652% in the first quarter of last year. Now, if you're doing some sort of comparison with last year to what happened, where was that percentage at the end of 2006? Well, at the end of 2006, the high during the housing boom was 648%. So it has slipped some, but despite this, they see a good reason to expect the economic expansion to continue. Perhaps they're looking for 3 to 4 years. I don't go by that. And he says eventually this is all going to end very badly. He says the problem is that the financial cycle is way ahead of the economic cycle. And so we're going to see another major downturn, it's not that far away.
But you know, when they talk about, if I heard you correctly, they're attributing the growth in wealth, it's outstripping the productivity in the economy.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
As a function of assets.
Mm-hmm.
They have too many assets. What do they mean by assets?
Debt.
They mean debt instruments.
Did you hear me?
I heard what you said, but you said debt.
Debt.
As if it was a secret.
Right?
I just said
it's
I'm not keeping secrets. I'm telling the people. Right? When they are talking, oh, we had too much growth in assets, they're talking about assets like stocks. And they're treating these debt instruments as if they were assets. From my perspective, all these debt instruments are promises to pay.
Mm-hmm.
We have more promises out there. Oh, yeah, I'll pay you $100,000. And I'm going to pay that guy over there. I'm going to pay you $250,000. And the guy down the street, I'm going to pay him $1 million. And we're just making promises after promise after promises. And these promises are being treated as assets, but they're nothing but IOUs.
Well,
they are nothing but promises to pay. And this explains they are debt instruments. They are conducive to a bubble. They are due to artificial stimulus. They're not due to productivity. And that's what that's the way I interpret what you read from this guy. Who did you say his name was? Did you say
One was Daniel Thornton. He was with the Federal Reserve for 33 years at St. Louis Bank of the Federal Reserve. And the other one was Joe Carson, who is a veteran economist. But to me, what's fascinating about this whole article, since 2009, households have seen their holdings of stock and mutual funds nearly double to $20.6 trillion, and only 6% of that gain can be ascribed to new flows of money into the fund. 6%? Now, that should tell you how big that bubble is.
Well, from 2009,
yeah,
when the stock market was at its lowest point after the onset of the Great Recession. I don't know what the level was of the Dow Jones at that time. I don't know and I don't recall.
Well,
but
at the low,
if you were to compare
6,000.
All right, if it's 6,000 and it's 18,000 right now,
numbers.
It indicates that the market went up by 200% and these people only got 100% increase in the value of their shares. It went from 6,000 to 18,000. That's in an increase by 200%. And the people who are, they're pointing to, they say, yeah, they doubled.
Yeah.
But that's only 100%. They didn't triple. They only doubled.
Well, we're talking
it's not
about
even good luck. It's surprising and it's mathematically bizarre. But you would at least suspect that, look, if the market went up by 200%, people holding since 2009, they should also gone up by 200%, or at least close to it, not just 100%. So, I don't know. The whole thing is a house of cards. The real point here is this apparent growth in wealth is based on a bunch of assets that are nothing more than paper promises to pay. And as such, you cannot rely on them. The whole thing is built on sand. And sooner or later, we're going to get that rainstorm, that flood's going to wash the sand away. And guess what? The little debt-based monetary system and the debt-based economy is going to fold like a house of cards.
Well, we've been having the rain, and the edges of that sandcastle is just kind of wielding away, but there's a huge tsunami on the horizon that's going to wipe it out totally. So, yeah, so I thought that was really interesting. I mean, $20 trillion and only 6% of that gain is new money. It's interesting. But what's next, Al?
Well, we've got an article here somewhat along the same lines. Former Fed governor. He says the Federal Reserve is not data dependent. They tell us they're data dependent, and they will raise interest rates or they won't, depending on what the data shows them. He says it's not data dependent. It is instead propping up asset markets. Earlier this year, former Federal Reserve president, right? This guy, I don't know what he's talking about, admitted the central bank created a phony wealth effect by pumping up stocks and other asset markets through its monetary policy. This parallels what we were just talking about, really. Pumping up stocks and other asset markets. And again, when I say asset markets, they are an asset in a debt-based monetary system, but they are not assets in the same sense as something tangible like gold and silver that you can hold in your hand. They are promises to pay. They have value, but they not the same value as a real payment, gold or silver. Several months later, analysis proved this was true, showing that 93% of the entire stock market move since 2008 was caused by Federal Reserve policy. All right? Now, what that means, what it implies, is the market isn't up because the corporations are more productive or even more profitable. The market is up because of Federal Reserve stimulus, external stimulus by the Federal Reserve. And he goes on, he thinks that's their object. He says today, the Fed continues to focus on propping up asset markets. Former Federal Reserve government, he admits, Kevin Warsh is the former Federal Reserve governor. He says he appeared on CNBC's Squawk Box and said that the Fed isn't really data dependent in the sense that it's looking at the overall economy. It is really market dependent. He said they look to me to be asset price dependent more than they look to be data dependent. When the stock market falls like it did in the beginning of this year, they say, oh, we'd better not do anything. Stock markets are now at career highs. I suspect that when they meet over the course of the next 10 days, they'll suggest, oh, look how they can be somewhat more responsible. Meaning, he's saying, if he's right about this, he sees there's two interpretations. Why is the Fed doing what it's doing? We like to believe that the Fed does what it does because they're trying to stimulate the overall economy. And they do that. They depend on the data. What is the employment rate? What is the inflation rate? Whatever. This is the data for the whole country. They depend on the data because they're working to restore the economy for the whole country. That's one position. But he said, no, that's not what's really going on. These people are market dependent, right? And they're doing what's best to maintain the Dow Jones average and the Standard & Poor's and so on. They're trying to maintain the markets, not the national economy. We will see, he implies that we may see in the next several days when the Fed is meeting, he says, we'll see. If they're willing to raise interest rates, it's because the market is doing well. And they are market-driven. If they refuse to raise interest rates, it's because the general economy is still dragging. And they will respond to the data for the overall economy and say, no, we can't raise interest rates again. That's the essence of the observation, again, coming from former Fed governor, Kevin Warsh. And that's the essence of his argument. So we'll see. We'll get some evidence. We won't have proof. I mean, it's entirely possible that the Fed is primarily market-driven. But even though the market's at record highs, they'll sit back and they say, no, we better not. Because they can't, it's not really a case of one or the other. It's more a case of emphasis. They can't just consider the market and ignore the general economy. They can't just consider the general economy and ignore the markets. But it's a question of, are we doing 80% general economy and 20% markets? Or are we doing 70% markets and 30% general economy? Where is the balance on this? We'll have a little more information on that over the course of the next week or 10 days.
Well, you know, it's all about the markets and, you know, the current Fed. I mean, all their decisions, if it is data-led, is all based on world markets. It's not even based just on our own economy and our own markets. It, you know, you have Ben Bernanke traveling Japan. You have somebody else traveling, to talk to somebody else, Greece. I mean, Jack Lew was in, talking to Greece. This is what you need to do. And I mean, as far as finances, as far as the stock markets, as far as that has, and it truly is globalized. And these central banks, they're all working together. They all, and it's just like, it truly is mind-boggling.
I don't even know if they're all working together exactly, but it does appear that the Federal
Because if
Reserve
they don't, they'll all fall.
It's deemed the Federal Reserve is deemed to be the godfather.
The Federal Reserve is the leader of the group.
Yeah, we should change, instead of Janet Yellen, we should get Don Corleone to run the Federal Reserve here in the United States, and the rest of them would be, other families from around the world. But Don Corleone, he's making people offers they can't refuse.
So every decision is based on everything else because the stock markets is the wealth, as we talked about the earlier program. That is the wealth. It's $20 trillion. It's up since 2009.
That's the apparent wealth. Mm-hmm. The apparent wealth.
Well, we're talking numbers, and that's,
I understand.
Only 6% of that is real.
Uh-huh. So how is that going to work out? This is all cosmetics. Sooner or later, the marriage ceremony is going to end, and it's going to be time for the marriage to begin, and the honeymoon to begin, and they're maybe going to find out, oh my gosh, what we're married to doesn't look anything like I thought. No, this is bound to happen. And when it does, there's going to be significant trouble. Here's a little article. British pouring up to half of their net worth into gold post-Brexit. There's the headline. United Kingdom is thrown into a sea of uncertainty in the wake of the Brexit vote. So what are the British people doing? Buying gold. According to a Reuters report, gold dealers in the UK report an extraordinary interest in gold post-Brexit, much of it from first-time buyers. The speed at which people are purchasing gold is unprecedented. We're seeing people convert as much as 40 to 50% of their net worth into physical gold as opposed to 5 or 10% in the past. British Royal Mint also reports a surge with a sevenfold increase in the sale of 100-gram bars. Bullion Vault said the number of first-time buyers on the site increased 170% late June and into the first week of July. It's clear that the uncertainty surrounding the Brexit vote has driven Brits to seek a safe haven historically offered by gold. One individual says was ahead of the game. He bought the gold before the vote, anticipating economic chaos, but he offered even more poignant reason to buy gold. He doesn't trust the banking system. How many of you trust the banking system? Right? How many of you trust the government as it exists right now? As long as that's true, the same forces that drove Britain to buy gold should be pushing you. Let's take a break for some commercials. Melody and I will be right back. Please stay tuned.
As men get older, they are subject to hormone imbalance. And when this happens, men can experience osteoporosis, memory loss, irritability, blood sugar imbalance, weight gain, enlarged prostate, erectile dysfunction, and risk of stroke. The human endocrine system manufactures hormones. Why not feed your system plant nutrition to make the hormones that are right for you? For centuries, these herbs have been used to balance the male hormone system. Men, you've waited long enough for the male hormone formula. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free 866-229-3663 for the male hormone formula. 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. 866-229-3663, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
So now for Data Secure with Melody Cedarstrom on financial survival. What's next, Melody?
Well, I was looking for something right here, Al, but it has escaped me. I'm not sure if I might have deleted it or not. But anyway, we still have a great price on 90% silver today, mostly dimes. Again, you can purchase that 75 cents over spot. So it's a great little special for 90% silver. Since it's beginning to flow a little bit more easily into the markets, the secondary market, they're beginning to come back. So the premiums have dropped a little bit. But 75 cents over spot, I don't think you can find any silver product that low. You can buy silver rounds if you buy a volume, maybe at that price. But really good price for 90% silver dimes. And you can get any amount that you like. We like to divide them up in $50 face value bags. So that's available. We have all product available. We have all good prices, but that is a specialty price for the 90% silver. The one thing that I wanted to talk about, too, before we move on is the numbers from the U.S. Mint. The Silver Eagles jumped a little bit from earlier in the week. They were still at like 900,000. We're right now at 1.195. Still a weak month for July for Silver Eagles. This Gold Eagles have popped from the U.S. Mint. I think there's just a lot of distractions going on. We have tremendous heat across this country, certainly with the conventions, the elections, certainly with all the terrorist attacks, not here, but around the world and everywhere. That certainly has people glued to the televisions to see what is going on. Even you, Al, mentioned Papa John's.
Oh yeah,
that is claiming their increase in orders is due to people don't want to leave their homes. So
not just the increase in orders. I'm trying to scroll down. Here it is. This is from Bloomberg. Right? Analyst upgrades Papa John's because growing civil unrest means more pizza deliveries. All right. This is evidence. It's an ill wind that blows no good. Papa John's International, they're a pizza manufacturer, you understand. They make pizzas in stores and then they deliver them. is poised to perform well as civil and political disruptions ahead of a contentious U.S. election prompt Americans to stay in rather than eat out. After speaking with several large operators and industry contacts, we believe the recent decline in casual dining, dining's off 3 to 5%. Recent decline in casual dining restaurant segment fundamentals may be the result of consumers eating more at home amid the current political and social backdrop, which we believe could last through the November election. So what they're saying is snipers, for example, right? We've had snipers, we've had people shooting, we've had odds and ends going on here, violence, an uptick in violence, and the rest of that sort of thing. And people are looking at that saying, you know, I don't want to go outside. I don't want to take a chance on being shot or run over by some crazy guy driving a truck or something like that. I think let's call Papa John's and let the delivery boy take the risk. He can risk his life delivering the pizza, and we won't risk our lives by going out for dinner. They are thinking this may have to do with 3 to 5% decline in casual dining in the last over the last several weeks, and therefore they are raising the value of Papa John's stock. Right, so he'll win that blows no good. We can even make a we could even if you like conspiracy theories, we could even sit back and contemplate the possibility that the pizza manufacturers union is responsible for violence in the street because it causes people to order pizza rather than go out for dinner. Now, of course, I'm being semi-facetious about that, but what a world. What a world. Stock is up. People are shooting. Pizza stock is up. Who would have thought? And yet here it is, part of what makes America great. Or at least very interesting. Yeah, it's a pretty strange world we live in.
Well, I guess an update in Munich. I guess one of the gunmen kills himself. They found. I guess they're still looking for others. There's at least 8 dead, more wounded. So that number will probably increase. And we'll see how that unfolds. And again, this is.
And whatever it is, it'll be these won't be the issue. Won't be that they're Muslims, and I don't even know that they are Muslims.
Well, there was an eyewitness who heard them shout, "The Allahu Akbar."
Yeah. Well, it figures they probably would be. And what's it telling you? Look, you got to be crazy to let these people into your country. And you can say, "Oh, you can't discriminate on the basis of religion. That's contrary to American principles." I'm not. I don't know if I've talked about it on this program in the past or not, but I've talked about it on other programs. And they've done a couple of studies, one in England and the other one in Scandinavia, Norway, Sweden, one of them, I don't recall. But they studied the genetic consequences of a strange Muslim trait, and that is that they marry their first cousins. And the reason they do that is because Muhammad married his first cousin. And therefore, seeking to emulate Muhammad, they have been marrying their first cousins. They are inbred. And as a result, they are prone to disease, more prone to disease, more prone to mental illness, more prone to violence. And it has to do with a fundamental characteristic of their faith. And the point, then, is if you wanted to exclude Muslims, assuming these studies are valid, the Muslim people have been genetically impaired by centuries, probably 6 centuries or more of inbreeding.
I think the whole world is genetically impaired.
But some are more impaired than others.
Yes, but,
you know, I think they're all impaired except for you and me, Melody. And
I think
sometimes
so.
I'm not so sure about me.
But, you know, just to add to the report about what's going on into Munich, I guess Obama briefed reporters this afternoon on what was unfolding. He noted how terrorism, you know, undermines people's freedom, blah, blah, blah. Then he cracks a joke about his daughter leaving the nest for college in the whole room. Supposedly, I haven't seen the video, but the whole room broke up in laughter. Then he shifts gears again and goes back to the subject matter, which was what was happening in Munich. And it's just like this You know, and just
we're very much concerned, and Unica's in our prayers.
Just prior to that,
did I tell you one about the parrot preacher?
Let me just, and then prior to that, he was criticizing Donald Trump for exaggerating terrorism threats. So, I mean, it's like this. He's nuts. You know, you talk.
Oh, they're all frauds when they get up.
Talk about improper breeding. Anyway.
I can remember Bill Clinton while he was in office.
Yeah.
I don't remember who got killed.
It was Ron Brown, I think.
Might have been Ron Brown. I don't remember. But it was someone in the inner close to the administration died. And Clinton attended the funeral. And they're leaving the church after it's all over, the cathedral after it's all over. I think it's the Washington Cathedral, but I don't remember clearly. This is 20 years ago, 15, 20 years ago. And as they're walking out, he's walking with somebody else. They're just laughing and joking and have a great time. And all of a sudden, they spot the camera in front of them that's videotaping them. And they instantly go very serious. And they stop the laughing and clowning around the rest of it. And, you know, people do this and they say, you know, we really care about what's going on. And the truth is, we really care about whoever died.
We saw the
thing. The family may care, but the rest of the country couldn't care less.
We saw the same thing with Obama and Nelson Mandela, I believe. He was over there flirting with this little blonde gal for some leader from some other country. I can't remember which.
Yeah,
but,
I remember.
You know, and old.
But heck, from Michelle.
Michael Michelle just kind of had a pretty disturbed look on her face.
Mm-hmm.
And so, anyway. But. You know, these are signs, folks. And I think most of the listeners know this. They know how, I mean, listening to the people at the convention this week, the number of people and the people that have showed up to these rallies throughout the year, we all know there's something drastically wrong with this country.
Well, there's just a bunch of phonies that are part of this thing. And
hopefully we can.
You don't see who they really are. They don't really want you to know who they really are, and instead they put up a facade, and it's not unnatural. Everybody's prone to this to greater or lesser degree, but politicians, you know,
not me, I am who I am.
Hear from me and Melody on this program, we have to be on our good behavior. All right, there's things that I might see. You think I get on my
you're not on your good behavior.
You haven't heard my bad behavior. I get on my bad behavior. There'll be people say, what did he say?
We'll get more disclaimers.
But the point is, what you hear is pretty much reality. All right? We got to be on our, we have to be in our good behavior. It's like, you know, going out for dinner, tell the kids, don't be making a fuss. Well, essentially, part of my mind is telling, don't be acting like a silly little kid. Well, okay, I'll try to resist. I'm going to try to resist, but I got my slingshot just in case, you know, and my bean blower. People do that, but the people in politics, they make a career out of it. We try to conceal parts of our nature. It's natural, but politicians, they take it to a different level, a different extreme. I don't know that that necessarily makes them worse than the rest of us who do the same thing to some extent, but maybe it does. I mean, how many people do you think? Do you think you really know Barack Obama? He's been in the White House for almost 8 years, going on 8 years.
How many people do
you really know this guy?
Know enough. I don't want to know any more of him, but I know enough.
Well, you know, I mean, it's the same thing. Who was he when he got elected? Where was he born? Has anyone even seen a real birth certificate on this guy yet? And yet we, you know, what an act.
Doesn't matter.
What an act. When they say this is a tough act to follow, they're not kidding. It is an act. I think Trump has been such a public figure for so long. I think we pretty much know. There's a good chance we know what we're getting. Hillary's been a pretty public figure also for a long time. And with her, we should also know what we're going to get. I just look at Hillary and I think, I don't want that. I know what I'm going to get. I mean, she is unable to put on a different facade to conceal her reality. I don't think Trump is trying to conceal his reality. I think he's trying to celebrate it. says, yay, I'm the Donald. I'm going to be president. I got a great family, a lot of money, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. Strange
world.
Find the truth.
Real quick before we leave, just to mention, last week we were talking about Turkey's coup, and we have something here on Syria's Assad.
Yeah. He's
it's just brief, but we can finish up the hour.
Relations between Assad of Syria, president of Syria, and Erdogan of president of Turkey, president or prime minister, I don't recall which one, once close allies soured after the start of Syria's conflict in 2011. Syria has accused Turkey of fueling the civil war by supporting Islamist insurgents and allowing foreign jihadists to cross into Syria. Yesterday, Syria's President Bashar al-Assad claimed that Turkey's President Erdogan used the coup to implement an extremist Islamic agenda, the agenda of the Muslim Brotherhood inside Turkey. This is dangerous for Turkey and for neighboring countries, including Syria. So this isn't exactly a surprise, but they are pretty much admitting what we'd suspected soon after the failed coup. The result is going to be an increase in the power and influence of Islam in Turkey, and that's going to be that spells trouble for a lot of people. It raises serious questions. Will Turkey be allowed to become part of the European Union? That's been a subject for some time. People have been saying, well, Turkey should become part of the European Union. And many people were saying, yeah, let's let Turkey become part of the European Union. And now we're looking at it and saying, wait a second. Turkey is going to become a cradle, a breeding ground for more radical Muslims. And how can we allow them to be part of the European Union and expect the European Union, the culture and the people that were there to begin with, how can we expect them to survive, or at least survive easily? All of this is good evidence. Turkey should not be included in the European Union. We're going to have to think twice about including Turkey. I believe Turkey is still part of NATO.
Mm-hmm.
We'll watch and see how that unfolds. But does NATO really want to share whatever information it has with Turkey? Can you count on a nation that is increasingly radical Muslim to value your secrets, your national secrets, and your plans and whatever? We live in interesting times, folks. And it'll be, who knows, maybe we'll have an interesting weekend, or if we get lucky, maybe we'll have a normal weekend. Have a good weekend. I hope you all do. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom. We'll be back on Monday. Hope you'll tune in then. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
All night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dream, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all. I'd fool around and have a ball. Money, money, always sunny.